We're happy to have Mike Van Solen, strategist and communications expert in studio with us. It's nice to have you in. We're going to do some chatting about branding, and we were just talking about it. The Taylor Swift brand, I'd put it this way. Have you ever told me a musician could get this big in the internet era where we absorb things? Like, there's nothing terribly mysterious about her, whereas in a pre-internet era, you wanted to know more about Bruce Springsteen, Madonna, Prince, all these big icons, the Eagles. You'd want to know more about them. We know everything about Taylor Swift, and we're all still obsessed.
Right. I guess she certainly, you would think, could she be overexposed? Well, apparently not. I mean,
there's no limit, it feels like.
She is a juggernaut. And, you know, this tour, I mean, it kind of knocks the whole earth on its axis. I mean, the amount of money she's able to generate. There was one report that said Taylor Swift is bigger than the GDP of 35 countries. And we just saw the impact she had on the NFL. You know, you think of the NFL as just this monolith, and yet, you know, in she dates one player on Kansas City, and the attention increased remarkably.
And it's not some random, like we had, who was it, Kim Kardashian dating Chris Humphries just briefly when he was a Toronto Raptor. But it doesn't move the needle for the Raptors. It doesn't make people terribly more interested. I know Kelsey's an important player without breaking down the X's and the O's of the NFL. But then when you get him to the Super Bowl and he plays a key role there, like, it's just, it's all getting painted perfectly, almost to the point where people have conspiracy theories about it, don't they?
Yeah, well, I mean, people like to make up conspiracy theories about the smallest thing, but this was massive. And, you know, you look at the NFL and it's just described as such a juggernaut. And people might say, well, no one player is bigger than the NFL. Well, maybe Taylor Swift is bigger than the NFL because the impact she had was remarkable.
So when you watch this, Mike, as a brand, and you see, I mean, there's been an ascension, that's for sure. She has been around quite a while, started as a country artist. But I would make the case that movie industry, music industry, even politics, which we'll get a little bit into, people get built up to be torn down. And we do get, we collectively are like, that's not as cool as it used to be. Whether it's a trend, an actor, we were talking about musicians where you go from playing stadiums and now you're in arenas and maybe you're even in smaller places. I mentioned earlier in the show, like you too had a little bit of a dip. I mentioned the Princes and the Springsteens, Madonnas, they have dips and ups and downs. This just feels constant with this one artist.
Well, it's true, but I think Taylor Swift is a long way from playing Casino Rama. You know, that's going to take
2078, maybe.
Look, the pantheon, there's only so much room in the pantheon of stars for people to pay attention to. Right now, she is dominating probably, you know, four of those 12 spots in the pantheon. People are obsessed with her. It's not going to end anytime soon. The Eras Tour is going to march through the end of next year, as I understand it. And it's pulling in billions and billions of dollars. And I'll just offer that her brand is so bulletproof, too. You know, we look at the behavior of some other artists and the impact it has on them. I Donald Trump made that quip that everybody lambasted him for. And he said something like, well, I'm a celebrity and celebrities can get away with anything. Well, I imagine Taylor Swift could get away with a lot right now because there's just so much love for her. And she's been such a great person.
All I've seen is all I've seen people be critical of her, Mike, is I guess what I'd call climate hypocrisy. That's all I've seen. Like private plane here, private plane there. Yeah. But yet, like Harry and Meghan had a little bit of that. You claim to care about the environment. There's a little bit of chastisement. She's not the one doing the tisk tisk, but she leaves quite the footprint.
Yeah. Well, she does. I mean, she's. We can think of her as a star, but we can also think of her as a large company, a really large company that's performing well, and it's moving. It has to move its stage and merchandise all over. You know, that climate hypocrisy stuff, you know, if that's all they can come up with against Taylor Swift, I mean, I think she's doing pretty well.
I mean to point out, it's not going to make people buy one less concert ticket or one less album. Not right now. Those are people that maybe weren't that into her to begin with. We've got Mike Van Solen with us in studio, strategist, communications expert. It was a week for Elon Musk and Tesla. Tesla made some cuts. There's a lot of talk that Tesla wants to pivot away from consumer cars to driverless cars. And obviously Musk is this big polarizing personality that we're just talking about somebody that's almost got universal approval. You can't find two people that feel the same way about Elon Musk. So what do you make of where he's at and where the brand is at as well?
Well, he's just one of the most fascinating business characters out there today. you know, the Twitter X purchase, you know, this is what makes him fascinating. He did that, it feels like, on a lark, because he believed in free speech. He believed what that platform could do. So that's interesting to see. But what's happening with Tesla right now is also fascinating. And, it, you know, what cropped up in the news that caught my attention was there was a video shared on TikTok where someone made the case that his Cybertruck was just rapidly accelerating. And he narrowly averted an accident, but for, you know, his heroic efforts. And from that little TikTok video, which on 2 days ago had over 6 million views, there's a couple other stories that get shared about people. Oh, I experienced the same thing. You know, then mix that with one story that says, you know, the delivery of my Cybertruck, you know, has been delayed. And then conspiracy theories are cropping up. So that's really fascinating. The question is, as Musk's personal brand becomes more complicated, does that start spilling over to how people think about Tesla? Is someone going to be less likely to buy a Tesla X because they go, I don't want to have to answer questions to my friends about whether I believe what Elon believes? So yeah. I think there'll be some challenges for that brand as his reputation becomes more polarized.
Well, even the X brand switching from Twitter, I think there's a lot of misnomers about it. One of the most notable is, well, there's less people on it than before he bought it. Not true. There's more people on it. More people are navigating it. And no, I'm sure we could look and go, well, here's what was better 3 or 4 years ago and here's wasn't. But for all the people that said Elon Musk buying Twitter, I don't like that. I'm leaving. They haven't. Which goes again to the concept of how people are critical of virtue signaling or just being phonies. Like, hey, yeah, you said you were going away. You're still tweeting 38 times a day and getting in my face all the time. They didn't quit, did they?
No, they didn't. You know, he's arguably made it a better business. I talk to people who use it. It's important to their personal brand and they're out on it all the time. And it has made a demonstrably better experience for those people. And those are the people who are driving engagement on that platform. It's very hard. You know, people say, oh, I'm quitting Twitter or I'm canceling this or canceling that. And I know we live in a cancel culture, so that, you know, it's a popular thing to say. But it's really hard to cancel things. The perseverance, the Teflon nature of Twitter, the user engagement, the experience is still drawing people in.
I got a minute and a half on Trump. And Stephen A. Smith, we played a clip. The sports broadcaster is diving into some political opinions. He was on with Chris Cuomo even last night, and he said, "Listen, what this looks like is, I understand he's accused of crimes, but his point is the Democrats want him to lose the court case so badly." Because they don't think Joe Biden can beat him fair and square, if you will, in the fall. But how do you view this trial? Is it really going to hurt his brand or really going to influence anybody who wasn't already voting for him to not?
Well, I think the spin line that has to do the most work is the Republicans trying to position these trials as good for Donald Trump. There's Trump himself and there's many other Republicans out there who will say, you know, he's going to get elected because people see that these are just political prosecutions. That's BS. The truth is Trump would be much better on the campaign trail than in the courtroom. So this is bad for him, and it may well take the election from him. Are Democrats scared of Donald Trump? Yes, they are.
Yeah, they are.
They worried about Joe Biden and how he'll perform? Absolutely. But Donald Trump being in court is a net negative, and he's just trying to survive it.
Before you go, I don't know how – would you advise Joe Biden to debate him?
He has
just the fact that we've been hesitating is bad news.
Look, exactly. That's the truth of it. But the other reality is he has to debate him. That is standard fare for a U.S. election. Joe Biden has to debate him, and we're all going to grab our popcorn and we're going to watch because it is going to be a show.
I remember the first night of the Trump-Hillary debate and I had stomach aches and headaches all day in 2016. Mike, I got to leave it there, but thanks for the visit. We'll do it again next Friday.
You bet. Take care,
Greg.
All right,
there's Mike Van Solen joining us on Toronto Today. Some great stuff on those hot-button issues.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.